how's it going? I'm just going to read a few poems from my up-and-coming book, Extracts of Time. The first poem I'm going to read for you is called I. The struggle is real, that is to fit into a marginalised society where conformity is preached and renegades are noosed. It's hard to fit into the world that I see before me. It's no utopia. It could nearly be described as dystopia with the illusion of democracy. The next poem I'm going to read for you is called The Alchemist's Elixir. I've been poisoned with the elixir of evil. It immerses me deep into the subconscious mind. The elixir of sin and remorse. Its tranquil qualities numb me but kill me from the inside out. One vow in life was but to abstain from the intoxicating liquor, the chalice of poison. The root of all evil and sin, it states us and I in a manner appropriate to the mass mind rape. One idiotic barman could but not make the drink I ordered, a plainly simple Coca-Cola. He poisoned me unwittingly with the toxic liquid, but it was not what I solicited. The stupid, cunning, deceptive bastard. He's what we would equivalent to a moron. Its intoxicating liquor traps me in a state of pandemonium, torn between two minds. That if I fail myself as a person, as to thyself be true, thou cannot be false to any man. That of conflicting views, I have broken my vow. I fail myself as a person, I am no longer pure soul. I've been contaminated with the filth. I've literally been raped. Yeah, this one's short. Okay. I'm going to read another one for you. It has no name, but you can call it anything because it has no name. I'm so far ahead, yet so far behind. I'm writing rhymes that are ahead of my time. I'm expressing myself through the use of conscious flow, delving deep into the subconscious mind. Insane or sane, that's the question. Whether it's nobler to suffer the mundane existence to remain sane, but insane is sane. I'll leave you in that note.
Thanks for that. Can we have Linda next, please?
It's one from my series of Venice poems. Excuse my Italian accent here. Si dolce è il tormento, how sweet is the torment. And it's the title of a Monteverdi madrigal. And Monteverdi was a composer, Italian composer, who lived in Venice for the last 30 years of his life. And he was the maestro de cappella at St. Mark's Cathedral. So, yes,
what year?
1613 to 1643, 30 years he was in Venice. But he was born in 1567, so, okay. There is a portrait of an unknown woman, her hands cupped to catch the wind. An unfathomable night that struggles to sleep falls heavily on her shoulders. She walked out of a room of failure, cut out words, pasted them to her ribs, immersed herself in abstraction and a Monteverdi lute, plucked with the fragility of glass flowers she had seen at Palazzetto Bruzzani. In Campo San Giacomo, she watched children tend artichokes, zucchini, play in winter snow. As church bells untied a knot in the air, she listened to the requiem of an Italian god no one knew. There is an unknown thread that unstitched her life. Her voice, that only water can hear, hid between cracks of half beginnings where ants and light scuttle to make their nest. In the shape of Venetian windows, she cupped her hands to catch the wind, but the wind slipped through her fingers.
That's beautiful, thank you. Can we have Mary O'Connell next?
Thanks. While I was on holidays abroad, I
came back to find that Matthew Sweeney had died. And I wrote this, I didn't mention that it was for him, but while he was alive, when I knew that he was not well. And so I read it now. It's called Realization. A well-loved poet is called upon to speak. A hush as he rises to his feet. The voice slurs, grows inarticulate, yet he's anxious to be heard. The body, stripped of bulk, looks fragile, as if it might collapse. His watchful partner, ever the stronger one, has unfamiliar lines about her eyes, takes up his train of thought to relieve his halting speech. Her bell-like tones, steady and sure, reveal the strength of their combined commitment. The lurch in my solar plexus lets me know this is what waits for all of us. One by one, old friends will topple down, horizons narrow, joys gutter out. There's little left to do but huddle in our shared humanity.
That's beautiful, Mary. Thank you so much. Next is Jack Shorten.
Thanks, Philip. David said a poem about the swallows prompted me to read this one tonight. This is from my sister Gay, who shared with looking after my mother when she was ill, before she died. So it's, how do they know when it's time? Come in or you'll miss the swifts. I'm trying to get the time right for the egg. See them on the sycamore, watch now, they'll all take off and do circles and land on another tree and whoop, they'll do it all over again. My thoughts are with the bird that has to judge when to fly south. I place a banana on the tray in case she can't stomach the egg. We hold off a while on the tablets to be swallowed. Her little dog opts out of the walk, I've left it too late again. I do one round of the lock in the dusk light. The swifts had turned their energies from flight to sound, to a syncopated tuning up or tuning down, a backing track to the frenetic calling of the bigger birds on the water below, all making for the marsh isle, eventually to quieten and settle. I go back to help her to bed and give her the dreaded pills and the plastic pudding bowl for the empty reaching. I know she'll blame the old dialysis and fuss about and fret a bit and let her hot foot hang out of the bed. Eventually she'll quieten and settle down.
Excuse me, that was brilliant. Thank you so much. The next person up, he actually submitted this yesterday, but through time travelling. It's our winner of the Fiber Challenge, Ben.
To Afrobeat in a sunlit garden, hypnotized by bumblebees in the lavender plants. Starlings in the treetops startle my ears with gleeful imitations of vintage synthesizers.
Very good. Can I reach you next, please?
Good to be back.
It's nice to go from a country where I was the whitest person to the brownest person, so there you go. This is a tacky poem I wrote about travelling, but you know, it's time's right. Between times where I never felt more alive, blinded by adrenaline, melon-kissed, brown skin, akin to the exotic imagination, elation in the constant motion. To days my drive deprived, depleted, desires fleeted, feeling rather fragile, unsure whether I'd ever find what I'm looking for, but convinced there had to be something more. I travelled. At times, conveniently cuddled up on a night bus, rocked a little rough, but I'm tough, so I scarcely slept and kept myself a fraction more in pocket, stacked on snacks and acts of esteemed freedom. But at times, freezing and sneezing, shielding myself from gale and hail, hitching and hiking, steering a new path unfathomed by many but enjoyed by too few. And I guess I grew. And although I always felt like I knew myself, I learned to shelf complaint and show restraint against circumstance. From lost bones, broken toes, whole souls going opposite ways, I paved the path of my own. But entwined with an abundance of time becomes tricks of the mind, and you begin to become blind to your fortune. Ringed hands, knuckle white, wrought with tension, firmly grip and strip the layers of certainty. I wanted this so badly, more than anything, and to feel ready to leave feels more foreign than any culture I trespassed, and I begin to long for the past and cast gazes towards the faces of history, more and more the mystery until I relax and just give some thanks to the moment. And it made me realize that in the guise of a good time, I'm led to doubt my choice, and it's not a sin to be not to be overly eagerly thrilled. Shrill thoughts still occur, whether stoically stuck by certain circumstances, romances or chances, all the while entranced by foreign beauty, truthfully duly acknowledging that there's nowhere you'd rather be than here and home.
Wonderful philosophy, welcome back. Next we have Kamel.
You and I cannot claim a future. All we have is this slippery moment, nearly out of our grasp. I wish this could be us. So in dreams, I track back, scatter spaces, and words disperse it, to find the thread, something to reel in, but nothing comes out. I'm out of wisdom. Silent drops and white mist drifting over green ground. I stare at the ocean, and I'm no longer me. I'm a hermit troglodyte who never uttered a word or was able to share some unsophisticated thoughts, but feels that primal longing while trying to make sense of this inscrutable immensity and another day is dawning.
Well done. Can we have Patricia Walsh next, please?
It's called Found in Translation. Sailing past the title, seeing the Joe Porter, waiting for a denouement to pay equaled, and the evolution of music on pieces unwanted. Craft beverages hurt like one time before. Slave to the times, binding supposed art. Work to training, multiply messages to suit. Looking at the stars, even on scandal sheets. Cloaking the familiar with accidental sense. The unexpected heart attack turned sterling. Ministry of the silly hands, gate cashes parties. Slipping through purpose, through cracked glaze. Minor acts of talking, interrupted necessary. And if verses were needed, familiar exclusion. Bridge over salacious water, advertises notice. This easy little experience proffers coffee like that. Weighing against impermanency, used as an office. No refill of tea after a given episode. Comfortable to a point, groups wanting seats. Being loved after so long, held in a greeting. Eating water like a past, in between lectures. This getting rid of flowers is perfectly sane. Alcohol comfort and penury, begging for attention. Paying where intended, loyalty cards extended. Freedom of socialising by this small undertaking. Thank you.
Nice one. Can we have Jamie next, please?
wrote this before I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, so like I wasn't in a great place. But, yeah, I wrote a load of what I thought were rap lyrics, but it turns out I wrote a bunch of poetry. It's coming down, the castle's crumbling, humbling. These words are a bumbling expression of how I'm stumbling, tumbling into something. I try to grab hold of the edge, I'm fumbling. See, I've been tunneling under stuff, feelings limited to angry grumbling and hungry tummy rumbling, and whether this is to temper my aggression or to protect myself from existence's hells remains the question. But that's irrelevant, because for the hell of it, my psyche's coming up for air to get the smell of it. It's like I'm celibate. I don't know the world, I know the shell of it, and I have to buy it from whoever's selling it. I'm felling it, the tree of life, instead of climbing in the branches and examining the factions that I can interact with. Because they're layered and they're stacked with the facets that they're packed with. But cruel irony, because now I finally see where I can be, it occurs to me that I can't climb. As I sit in a room all alone, writing rhymes, time passes by, and I sigh and wonder, why can't I?
That sounded like a rap to me. Can we have Max Creedon next?
This is just a small dialogue and then a small poem. It's just kind of about people who lose faith, and it's a dialogue in helping someone. And then, you know, just trying to be dreamy and optimistic. When you were about 27, you get married 29 years ago, yesterday. Anyway,
aww.
And this isn't actually my conversation with anyone, only a friend. So, say,
happy anniversary.
Thank you, oh God almighty. No more dark side of the moon, stay on the bright side, my friend, and don't worry about me, I'll be fine. Sure, we saw the shuttle in the sky tonight, and there's a falling star, the sky is full and beautiful, I was trying to swear. Oh, I don't reach for the stars anymore, they're like my dreams. They faded away. Oh, he's drowning. Tonight is the night when Earth passes through the first sea days, and the meteor shower, and their glory is fleeting. Remember, we're only stardust. You're sure a star yourself, and sure we're guided by them in our own star-crossed way. And remember, you know, life is too short. You have to dance your way through it. And that was enough of that. And I was trying to do the dreamy optimism. Hopefully I get it. I can only... Okay. I hope I remember the words, because I've written the many songs. I put them onto the hat, depending on the night. I hope for the best.
Come on, go
ahead. I got love.
Here we go again, just me and you. Facing all our obstacles, we'll see them through. We are invincible, us two. The world is running like a china penny, bright and new. Here we go again, it's our time. Looking peachy lovely in our bloom and prime, the prettiest little southern bells will chime. I know we're gonna make it, I'm sure of it this time. We'll build a magic world for just one day. We'll just eat a little bit for each and every day. For the path of true love to exist beyond desire, a little dreamy optimism will be desired for a perfect world. Just me and you, crossing through the portals into something new. Exclusively I'm yours and you're mine too. I know we're gonna make it. held a magic word for just one day. We'll steal a little bit for each and every day of true love to exist beyond desire. A little dreamy optimism will be desire for a perfect world, a perfect world.
Come on, sweetheart. Perfect world. Big congrats, Max. Okay, we'll tune quick out next.
So this isn't a poem by myself, it's by Anne Sexton. I think I've mentioned her a few times now. And it's about like Vincent van Gogh's painting of the Starry Night. I'm sure everyone knows it. Yeah, okay. So it starts, Vincent van Gogh in a letter to his brother. That does not keep me from having a terrible need of, shall I say the word, religion. Then I go out at night to paint the stars. The town does not exist except where one black-haired tree slips up like a drowned woman into the hot sky. The town is silent. The night boils with 11 stars. Oh, starry, starry night. This is how I want to die. It moves. They are all alive. Even the moon bulges in its orange irons to push children like a god from its eye. The old unseen serpent swallows up the stars, oh starry, starry night. This is how I want to die. Into that rushing beast of a night, sucked up by that black dragon, to split from my life with no flag, no belly, no cry.
Hold on. Okay, Nia, next, please. Hi. This is called Bubbles, I think. Mostly I'm lonely, from nighttime to morning time. The problem is there's no pets allowed in the house, and the garden is half a short stride squared. No room to swing a cat. Not that I would want to. I'd rather pour old milk in a bowl on the floor and watch it lap it up and call it Bubbles, and come home to find it snoozing on my bed like the loveliest pillow, and leave the house with its fur on my coat, reminding me to come back soon because someone is waiting.
And finally, we have Alice, please.
So I didn't have anything planned, which is pretty random. And the only thing I felt happy with that was finished in this notebook is actually in Greek. And these guys that I'm with here, they convinced me to do it anyway, because it sounds cool, apparently. So here you go. You'll notice a lot of, like, it's not quite rhyming. I've been creating words in this, working a lot of, like, with balancing opposites type concepts, but also making it musical. So I don't know if you can discern from that. You'll tell me after. So. Κυδεύω κείμενα, υποχείρια υποχωρούν, δίχως υποψίας, συνωμοσίας. Και σκιάζουν ξανά την ουσία που διαχέεται προς τα έξω. Επικίνδυνο. Λαβυρινθόκοπος γκρεμός, μαγεμένος βαθίζοντας, προς ολοκλήρωση. Σαν καταδικασμένος λυγίζοντας, αγγίζοντας με κομμένα αργόσυρτα χέρια. Τους φαίνεται άγαλμα το τέρμα. Μα εσύ αποβαρύνθηκες έξω. Διαφρώθηκες και πληγώθηκες εκ των έσω και αποχώρησες. Σε απομακρυσμένους τόπους ανδρώθηκες. Ακολουθώντας μνήμα όνειρο σχήμα, φανερώθηκες στο βαθύτερο εαυτό σου. Πατώντας παραπατώντας τα κομμάτια σου του κατακαιρματισμένου εγώ σου επανασυνδέθηκαν σε κατασκεύασμα ουράνιο. Βασισμένο και αντικατοπτρυγμένο από το υπόγειο, θέτοντας το χαμηλό και το υψηλό σε σχέση ισοδύναμη, σαν εκκρεμές παλώμενοι ρυθμικά, κάποτε ενοχελικά, άλλοτε εξοδοτικά, σαν πάντα μαγειμένα. Χωρισμένα και ενωμένα αναρκτικά, ταυτόχρονα, από μεγάλο καθρέφτη του ορίζοντα, λυγίζοντας ενίοτε ακόμα κι αυτός, οριοθέτησε τους περιορισμούς του προς τα έξω, στερέωμα. Περιπλανόμενο στην επιφάνειά του, το μυθικό υπόμνημα, γίνει απόσταγμα γενναιών και αιώνων, απομνημονεύτων χρόνων, αποκαταρακωμένος, ανασκευασμένος και αναβαθμισμένος πλέον επιστρέφοντας. Στο ανθρωπόμορφο εξωγήινο να διηγηθεί στην ιστορία του αυτούς που δεν τόλμησαν σε αυτούς να γράψουν τη δική τους. Χαρτογραφώντας λεπτομερώς την πορεία σου, διασχίζοντας το κοσμικό στερέωμα, καθοδικά, με κοιτητή ονειροκλωστή σε ονειρικό πανί, υφαντό από μαλλιά φανταστικών και φοβερών αγγέλων που γνώριζαν το μέλλον, και όταν μάζευαν τα κόκκινα σύννεφα και κεραυνούσαν αναλέει τη βροχή το αίμα που λέγιαζε και ακόμα και σένα, έκοβαν την πείνα δαιμόνων. What you got out of that, but I started.
It was all Greek to me.
Yeah, that's the one. I started writing it when I was on sleeping pills and I was playing like the words. You know how like reality bends in these states. So and then I woke up the next day and I saw, oh, there's something in that. So I carried on with the same motif and it started talking about basically from darkness into light type spirit story, you know, going into the underworld. If you can relate to the going into the underworld and then things start making sense and then going back to wherever it was that you came from to tell the story of what happened to you now that you've put all your pieces back together and it all makes sense. So
yeah, that's kind of what it was about, very roughly. What a finale. Greek sounds really cool. It's going to do a short one, very short. A moth mythology. Moths destruct Arunia's twin moon, hid its parts across a twilight of stars. Thanks. So thank you so much for tonight. A big round of applause to David Butler again for doing a wonderful night.